Thank you all so much for joining us. Thank you. Welcome everyone to the last in a series of 5 public forums with candidates for Little Rock Mayor. Tonight's hour-long discussion is general in topic. The series is presented by the Central Arkansas Library System, the League of Women Voters of Pulaski County, the American Association of University Women, and KUAR 89.1 UA Little Rock Public Radio. I'm Daniel Breen of KUAR News. I'll be your moderator this evening. Tonight's format will include opening introductions by the candidates, followed by 3 predetermined questions written by the League of Women Voters, the American Association of University Women, and KUAR. The candidates have not seen tonight's questions. After that, we'll have questions from the audience and then closing statements from each candidate. Candidates will have 1 minute to answer each question. They each will also have 3 opportunities to give 30-second responses to another candidate's answer at any time during the questions portion of the forum. Everyone, please welcome to the stage your candidates for the mayor of City of Little Rock. Earlier, candidates drew numbers from a hat to determine the order in which they will introduce themselves. After introductions, candidates will rotate the order of who answers first. We only have 1 hour tonight, so let's begin. Vincent Tolliver will go first. You have 1 minute to introduce yourself.
Thank you, Daniel. My name is Vincent Tolliver, and I'm thrilled to be a candidate for mayor of Little Rock. I am a former U.S. Congress Democratic nominee, and I will use this introduction to address a recent poll that some of you may have seen. The poll was conducted by Arkansas Business and Politics Hendricks College. It was commissioned by Channel 7 KATV. The problem with the poll is it's deeply flawed. And the reason it's deeply flawed is that it presupposes how voters will vote. They polled 498 voters. 174 of those voters said that they were undecided. So the ensuing headlines has cast the mayoral race of Little Rock as a 3-way heat. For those very reasons, because they presuppose how undecided voters will vote, that poll should be invalidated, and it is a reckless supposition in the face of democracy. So I want to make that clear on my introduction. Vincent Tolliver for mayor of Little Rock.
Thank you, Vincent. Frank Scott Jr., you have 1 minute.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Frank Scott Jr., born, raised, and still resides in Southwest Little Rock. I'm a product of Little Rock Public Schools, an associate pastor, a banker, a former senior advisor to Governor Mike Beebe, and a former state highway commissioner. And the reason why I'm running for mayor of my hometown is because I want to unify our city, secure our neighborhoods, focus on jobs growth, engage our youth, and help make certain we have a world-class educational system. But better yet, or not so much, we have to all tonight take some time to think about Roderick Talley. If you've watched the news tonight, you understand the expose from the Washington Post on what's happened with Brother Talley. I've issued a statement, also sent a letter to the Department of Justice as well. This is the exact reason why we have to unify our city. We have to make certain that we have a citizens review commission to make certain that we handle police misconduct and police brutality as we move forward with a citizens review commission. And please look more at public safety agenda for Frank Scott Jr., frankscottjr.com. I hope everyone will consider to vote for Frank Scott Jr. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Baker Curtis.
Thank you so much. Great to be with y'all tonight. I want to tell you a couple of things that I probably haven't said at these other forums, just because I know a lot of you have been here many of these, and I appreciate you coming every time. First thing is, what am I doing in this race? Why am I running? Well, it's a simple reason is I want to serve. I've been in this community for 38 years. When I got here in 1980, I started serving my community because I wanted to. It gave me a great pleasure to serve in our community with big brothers. Done a lot of different things. You may remember my school board service, which was very gratifying. You may remember that I was also the superintendent of schools for 14 months. Again, something I really and truly enjoyed. I want to serve again. I don't have greater ambitions. Frankly, this hadn't been the most convenient thing for me to do, but I was called to service, and that's why I'm here. I want you to look at my resume, too. We've had a great deal of discussion answering these simple questions, but I've got a different resume, and I hope I get a chance to visit with you about that because we're going to talk about a lot of things. I look forward to that, but I also want you to look not just at what we say tonight, but look at our backgrounds. Look at my resume. Give me a view of that. Thanks so much. I'll talk to you in a minute.
Thank you, Baker. Warwick Sabin, 1 minute.
Well, I've really enjoyed digging into all of the specific topics we've covered in the last 4 forums that were organized by this group. But what ties everything all together for me is the effort to build stronger neighborhoods throughout our city. And it starts with reducing crime and making our streets safer, and we can do that by making sure we have a fully staffed police department and having community police officers assigned to every neighborhood in our city. It also means making sure that no matter where you live in the city of Little Rock, no matter what neighborhood you're in, you know you can send your kid to a great public school. It means creating great jobs in every part of our city by promoting entrepreneurship and small business development in every neighborhood of our city. It means spending our infrastructure budget equitably so you have great streets and sidewalks and parks and playgrounds in every neighborhood of our city. And it means having a true mobility plan so that people can get around their own neighborhoods, but also that all of our neighborhoods are connected everywhere in our city. I've spent 6 years in the state legislature. I have a great background in my professional life and my community service, and I look forward to bringing that to bear to build great neighborhoods everywhere in Little Rock.
Thank you, Warwick. Glenn Schwartz, 1 minute.
And I am Glenn Schwartz, also a legitimate candidate for mayor. Mayor Schwartz be with you. Yes, let's talk about some different stuff, Baker, because this is about, I do recognize a lot of the faces in the audience. What does the mayor do? Isn't it just he runs the city director meetings, cuts a ribbon when a new business comes to town, and other than that, there's not a lot to that position. It's what the mayor makes of it. I will be a part-time mayor, work about half-time, and then I'm going to take just one-third of the mayor's $180,000 salary. I think it's a great bargain to the taxpayers and the working-class citizens of Little Rock. My three issues, I need to go over them quickly now. Decriminalize marijuana and prevent a single another Little Rock citizen from being sent to prison or to Arkansas jails for a marijuana crime. Recycling service reestablished for all of the citizens of Little Rock, not just for those in houses. And I have a far future vision of how Little Rock could grow exponentially in the next 30 or 40 years.
All right. Thank you, Glenn. And now tonight's questions, which again are all open topic. Here is question one. The Washington Post published an article over the weekend outlining questionable search warrant practices by Little Rock police. In many instances, police have used information from informants to issue quote-unquote no-knock warrants to enter homes by force and search for drugs, often using explosive charges to enter homes by force. Many of these raids have failed to turn up significant amounts of illegal drugs, or in many cases, any illegal substances whatsoever. What do you think should be done about these practices, if anything, and what can be done to reduce crime in Little Rock while protecting the constitutional rights of Little Rock citizens? Frank Scott, you touched briefly on this, and you'll be the first to answer. You have 1 minute.
I think first and foremost, I ask everyone to please go to frankscottjr.com, where I've detailed not only my statement on the issue, but I've also sent a letter to the Department of Justice. Because this no-raid attacks that they've been moving forward with for quite some time is a disgusting issue that we have in our city right now. It's appalling, and as a black man, it's something that's not necessarily new. Here's the thing. If Roger Talley did not have a video recording at that point in time, if he did not have a lawyer, he would be in jail today. And that is an issue, and we have to understand that. I line out a Citizens Review Commission board for this very thing, for police misconduct and police brutality. I ask that you learn more about my public safety agenda at frankscottjr.com, where not only list out the Citizens Review Commission, but also the need to increase police from 593 to 700, where we would increase our police budget about $10 million. If we fully believe that Little Rock has a safety issue and a safety problem, it should be a part of our budget and show those priorities. So please go to frankscottjr.com to learn more about our public safety agenda and the need for a Citizens Review Commission, as well as my Department of Justice letter and my statement on Roderick Talley. Thank you so much.
Baker Kearse, 1 minute.
Well, I likewise issued a statement with respect to the article in the Post. Very concerning. Very concerning to me. It's the sort of thing that needs to be completely reviewed very systematically and very, very carefully. And I've said so on my website. That matter will be on the mayor's desk on January the 1st, I think. I doubt that it'll be resolved by then. I certainly understand from the article that a lawsuit is in the offing, may have already been filed. And we have to be very, very certain that our policies are sound, our processes and procedures are sound, that our tactics are only utilized strictly in accordance with law, and that we have complete review every time we have a problem. And there is a process for that within the police department. I don't know if that process has been utilized in this case. But I'm extremely concerned about it. And if I were the mayor, I would be clearly in command of the situation by virtue of the lines of communication and authority that exist under current law.
Work saving 1 minute.
Well, I was the first candidate to issue a statement on this issue early this morning, and the reason why is because I read the article once, twice, three times, and there's enough in it to obviously, you know, demonstrate that there's something very, very wrong with that particular practice. It's clearly a violation of Fourth Amendment rights. We have a situation where people don't also have the chance for remedy because people tried to go through the normal processes and they were denied that opportunity. But we also have to understand the greater context here. We have a situation around the country where people are losing faith in how law enforcement is being applied, whether it's equitable and fair. This particular article mentioned that communities of color were basically victimized by this practice overwhelmingly and disproportionately. And we have to build faith back up with our own community before we can even have the opportunity to make sure that we make this city a safer place. And so as mayor, I would immediately call for a full and transparent investigation of this particular issue, and I did so today in my statement.
Glenn Schlurz, you have 1 minute.
Well, this is indicative of the larger problem. I mean, the drug war is an example of Big Brother interfering with the freedom of our, you know, daily lives. I have been an advocate for the last 30 years. I restarted the normal chapter in this state and have gone down to the legislature every single 2 years and talked to about 30 or 40 legislatures to decriminalize marijuana and take that nonviolent crime away from, you know, the police having to enforce that. I would like to also expand that and say that in regards to all drug crimes, these people should not be getting sentences longer than the people that are committing real or violent crimes. So I believe that decriminalizing, and I think we can decriminalize marijuana in Little Rock by passing an ordinance saying it's just a violation of a city ordinance. We're not going to be, you know, threatening you with 10 years in prison with simultaneous possession and stuff like this, and possession of a handgun and marijuana.
And Vincent Tolliver, 1 minute.
Thank you, Daniel. Let's provide a bit of context for this. This particular article that Daniel referred to appeared in the Washington Post yesterday in the section Democracy Dies in Darkness. The title of the article was Little Rock's Dangerous and Illegal Drug War. Well, that article appeared in the Post around 3 in the afternoon, and around 5:14, our city attorney in the name of Tom Carpenter sent out an email. He sent out an email to the mayor and all the city directors, and the caption of that email was information alert. Little Rock, we have a problem. We have a problem with the search and seizure, and according to this article, it's illegal. Out of the 133 affidavits that judges signed off on, 110 were for African Americans. That's wrong. It's unconscionable. I don't have to wait until I'm mayor of Little Rock to call for an investigation. We need an investigation right now. The city manager Bruce Moore needs to be called into account, and also Chief Buckner. They need to come and explain these actions, and they don't need to wait.
Thank you, Vincent. Mr. Schwartz is indicating he wants a rebuttal. You have 30 seconds.
I agree with what Warwick said, that some of these laws are based on racism. The anti-marijuana laws were passed in the 1920s and 30s, partially to, you know, reestablish the chain gangs of blacks and Hispanics. I would ask Warwick Sabin, you were a state representative for 3 terms. Why wouldn't you introduce, I think I did ask you several times, to introduce a reform in regards to cannabis or marijuana?
Any rebuttal? Okay. We are speaking in a forum with candidates for Little Rock Mayor. It's the last in a series of 5 presented by the Central Arkansas Library System, the League of Women Voters of Pulaski County, the American Association of... I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
Again, I just want to bring light to the Rolic Tally issue. It's an issue that's plaguing our city for quite some time. And I appreciate Mr. Sabin for issuing a statement first. I just wish he would have talked to Brother Talley before issuing a statement. And I think many times we tend to utilize politics first. I think it was great to issue a statement. However, you have to always go through a step further. Just don't give lip service. Actually do something like I did by sending a letter to the Department of Justice first as well.
Okay. Anyone else? Sorry about that. And this forum is presented by Central Arkansas Library System, League of Women Voters of Pulaski County, the American Association of University Women, and KUAR 89.1. I'm Daniel Breen with KUAR News. All right, we're going to move on to our second question. Now, what will you do as mayor to bridge racial and economic divides in Little Rock? This question goes to Baker Curris first. You have 1 minute to answer.
Well, I think the mayor leads from the front. That's for one thing. You got to be absolutely genuine, fair, and equitable in every single thing that you do. You have to not just talk the talk, you have to be sure that you can prove that. And I did that on the school board. We did equity studies to be certain that we were allocating resources fairly, that we were paying people fairly, and that we had no gender bias, no racial bias in either our salary schedules, in our schools, and that we allocated resources based on a very particular formula that ensured that we were being fair. I would do the same thing as mayor. Now, as far as bridging racial divides, I think we as a community have to come together. That's part of what I know how to do. I did that at the school district at a time when our community was shaken, very divided, and struggling, I would say, with what happened in our school district. I did all I could every single day to build bridges, to tear down walls, and that's the sort of thing a mayor can do, and I will. I'll be in the community every day working and talking and doing everything I can.
Warwick Sabin.
Well, I think as mayor, it's really important to approach these issues with a great degree of humility. And that means, first of all, you know, asking everybody in the city, you know, what their idea of equity is, and making sure we understand that there are a lot of different challenges that are being experienced in every neighborhood in the city. And as mayor, I want to be in every neighborhood in the city, and I want to start by listening and understanding. And then the next step is absolutely inclusion, which means making sure that we are including everybody on an equal basis in the decisions that are being made in city government. If you look at our boards and commissions, for instance, they are overwhelmingly not representative of our entire city. In fact, you know, we recently met with a pretty important commission as mayoral candidates, and everybody in the room was white, and there was only one woman in the room. That's a problem. And so as mayor, I want to make sure that we're not just talking, that we are doing something in terms of measuring our progress, really building an equitable city, because when we have equity, we will have unity.
Glenn Schwartz, 1 minute.
I would like to quote President Barack Obama on this question. There is not a white America or a black America. There is not a red America nor a yellow America. There is the United States of America. And I consider myself very lucky and honored to be a citizen of this country and a citizen of Little Rock, Arkansas.
Vincent Tolliver, 1 minute.
Thank you, Daniel. Just to pick up what Warwick was saying, the commission he was referring to, because I was at the breakfast as well, or the coffee as well, was the Parks and Recreation Commission. What do we need to do to bridge racial and economic divide? About 2 months ago, I sent a request to our city manager asking how many contracts over $100,000 had been awarded by the city of Little Rock between June of 2017 and June of 2018. They sent me a list. That list included 62 people. My follow-up request was how many of those 62 people were women or minority? Well, I am still waiting for the answer. The problem starts in City Hall. We have a City Hall that has operated like a private club. It is not a private club. It is the people's house, and we need to be in the business of reclaiming City Hall for the people, because the way it operates now is intolerable and unconscionable.
And Frank Scott Jr., 1 minute.
The reason why Frank Scott Jr. is running for mayor, as I've often shared, is because I want to unify the city and focus on jobs growth. When you look at the corporate rooms, you look at different jobs, two things that are holding Little Rock back from reaching its full potential are diversity in the marketplace and educational achievement. Only until we receive that, we won't reach our true potential. And it's time to elect someone that understands the diversity of this city, and the only way you really experience the true value of diversity is through intentional interactions. But not only the diversity of the city, this identity as well, and someone that can truly cast that type of vision and build bridges within this city, and someone who will understand south of 630 issues as well as north of 630 issues, and understand that Little Rock is southwest, it's south end, it's the east end, it's the heights, it's Hillcrest, it's Baseline, it's College Station, and ask ourselves, have you been to each area of this city yet? Have you been inside of isolation yet? I know that's to be true, and we have to stop that and break those walls in our city.
This is a forum for candidates for Little Rock Mayor. I'm Daniel Breen with KUAR News. This forum's topic is general topics.
Can I use the phone to friend? And I'm really not rebutting anybody in particular. I just want to say one other thing, and I'm going to burn a card if I could.
Sure thing.
Okay. I agree with Mr. Scott. You have to go there. You have to put your feet on the ground in places where other people don't go. And I just didn't talk about that. I want you to look at what I did as school superintendent. And I'll tell you, not that I did it because I was obligated. I did it because I loved it. I played basketball with kids all over town, kicked soccer balls with kids all over town, met people all over town. And that's the richness and the fullness of our city. If we would just learn to embrace it and just learn to find the commonalities in everything we do, this would be a marvelous place.
Thank you, Baker Kurz. We'll move on to our third question now. What will be your highest priority as mayor of Little Rock? Rick Sabin, you have 1 minute to answer.
Well, my highest priority will definitely be reducing the crime rate, because it's really what's in many ways top of mind for every person that I've seen in the city of Little Rock, no matter what neighborhood I go to. This is the first topic that comes up. And the reason why is because people feel very unsafe in their neighborhoods. They've been victimized by violent crime or property crime. They call 911 and either don't get a response or the response is very slow. And our police complain about their lack of resources and manpower. We know that it's causing people either not to move to our city or it's causing people to move from our city. It's a black eye for us nationally. It causes us not to be able to sell homes in the city, or causes people not to come into the city to shop or enjoy our quality of life. And so we absolutely need to take this on as priority number one. I've talked about how to do it. It starts with staffing our police department and giving them all the resources they need to do their job. It continues with community policing in every neighborhood, a strategy that's worked in the past and that we somehow got rid of and need to get back to, and much more. But we'll talk more about that, I assume, going forward.
Glenn Schwartz, you have 1 minute.
I think I already mentioned it was decriminalizing marijuana in Little Rock, so I'm going to go on to my number two, which is establishing recycle services to all the citizens again. We had recycle services to many of the citizens with those igloos we used to have at Kroger's and the different stores around town. And then those all got taken up, and only the houses get to recycle and participate in the waste reduction program. And the main thing that the waste management is looking at from these houses is not the material. It's actually the $5 tax that is hidden in your utility bill. So I have been in recycling for 7 years. I've been a recycle center manager and an owner, and I know that we could easily establish these places like at War Memorial Stadium and some of the stores to where all the people can participate in recycling, which is a subset of waste reduction. I'd also like to go to Kroger's and some of these stores and go, why do you sell Tide in a big old one-cubic foot plastic container that is completely non-compressible, completely non-degradable?
Vincent Tolliver, 1 minute.
I think one of the highest priorities for Little Rock is infrastructure. Infrastructure that has gone long unattended, infrastructure that could go a long way in improving our health, improving the way we communicate with neighbors in all wards. I think that we need to make sure that all sidewalks are replaced, particularly along streets like Roosevelt. I think we need to make sure that we are connecting sidewalks on University, because when you have a walkability in a city, it improves health. And it also improves relations with neighbors. Now, let me say something about crime. I think that the city of Little Rock is complicit in peddling fear. I don't agree with that. And I think when it's said and done, we will learn some disturbing things from the Little Rock Police Department. Crime has statistically gone down from last year. We need to be clear about that. So I am looking forward to the impending investigations that will come out after this explosive report in the Washington Post.
Frank Scott, 1 minute.
I think it's easy to say that crime is a most important issue in our city. I think it's also easy to say that education as well. Those are two things why people choose to leave Little Rock. But I'm here to let you know that until Little Rock focuses on building bridges within its own self, until we move from being disconnected to connected and truly unify our city, nothing else really matters. And the issue is, how do you make certain that we build this city together to become one city? And if we become one city, we'll be able to accurately address a lot of issues that are plaguing our city. And that's the type of leader that we need today.
Baker Curse, 1 minute.
Well, excuse me. Yeah, Mr. Scott's right about that. And the trick is that everything's connected to everything else. There's not one single thing. So if you revitalize neighborhoods and you improve schools because people live in those neighborhoods and will go to neighborhood schools and invest in their neighborhoods, and then they'll buy food here and the sales taxes will rise and we'll have the money to do infrastructure improvements. Everything is connected. There's no single issue, and it's really not going to get us anywhere to not understand the connectivity that's involved in our city. And it also involves leadership. And that's why I'm running for mayor. I want the chance to do what I've already done, not to talk about it, but to do it again as a servant leader to you and serve every single person in this town by being a mayor who's fully committed to the job. And it's a two-edged job, and we'll talk about that in a moment. It's not just chairing meetings. It's learning how to make this city work and then getting out in the city and learning how to meet people, help them work together. That's central. Until we do that, nothing changes. We just simply scream at one another from the corners. We have to come together.
Mr. Sabin, did you?
Yeah, well, leadership is about being able to prioritize, and so you need to be able to answer the question and state a priority, and I think that reducing the crime rate in Little Rock is incredibly important. You know, 2017 was one of the most violent years in the history of our city by any statistic, you know, homicide, rape, aggravated assault. It was also one of our worst years when it comes to property crime. And so if we've improved just a little bit this year by going from an F to a D, in essence improving by 20%, we still haven't gotten to the point where our city is where it needs to be so that people feel safe. That's what I hear everywhere I go in the city of Little Rock.
Thank you very much. And we are speaking in a forum with candidates for Little Rock Mayor. It's the last in a series of five presented by the Central Arkansas Library System, the League of Women Voters of Pulaski County, the American Association of University Women, and KUAR 89.1. I'm Daniel Breen with KUAR News. We're approaching the halfway point here in our forum today. I want to thank everyone for joining us. We're going to move on to questions from the audience now. Our first question comes from Becca Green. Given last week's unprecedented environmental report, what specific actions do you plan to take as mayor to ensure that Little Rock government agencies, residents, and citizens contribute to the fight against climate change in meaningful actions? The first answer goes to Glenn Schwartz. You have 1 minute.
Good. I am prepared to go first on this one. I have been thinking about that for a long time. I've lived in Little Rock for 30 years, seeing the city grow from 160,000 to 180,000. But I look at this climate deal, where they are, most scientists are predicting that we are warming the planet, and that the oceans could rise substantially. I think that the four storms we've had this year down around the Gulf Coast can show you that. If that happens, if the oceans rise like 20 or 30 feet and floods all the coasts of Louisiana, Mississippi, and most of Florida, there will be tens of millions of Americans looking to relocate to higher ground. And they're going to consider Little Rock like I did, that this is really a pretty city, and we're like 300 feet above sea level, and we could be looking at exponential growth, like doubling our population every 5 years for the next 30 to 40 years. I will prepare the city for this.
Vincent Tolliver, 1 minute.
Thank you, Daniel, and thank you, Becca Green, for the question. I think one of the first things Little Rock has to do is to come up with a comprehensive plan about what green looks like today in the next 10, 15 years. Think big. Little Rock has taken a stab of it, and I applaud them for their work. But there has to be a comprehensive plan, an environmental plan, about how we grow Little Rock from an environmental sustainable perspective, and also how we bring companies and how we invite residents into a city that's walkable, where you don't have to have a car in Little Rock, a transportation system that's workable, where it makes sense to get around in the city, and you don't have to necessarily go out of your way to take a bus. I'd like to see businesses downtown Little Rock incentivized with their, for their employees taking the bus. I'd like to see them offer discount bus passes. I'd like to see them make it make sense for their employees to take the bus. We don't have that. If you take a poll in this room tonight, for example, how many people in this room take public transportation? I think the answer would shock you.
Frank D. Scott, 1 minute.
Thank you, Becca, for the question. Also, as a full disclosure, Becca and I served on the Think Big Little Rock Transportation and Environmental Committee. I was the task force chair. And, Becca, I would fully do my best to implement those recommendations that you and I both worked on during that period in time. For those of you, if you would, go to Think Big Little Rock to learn more about all of those recommendations. But more broadly, I would want to make certain that we have a true energy-efficient city, a city that's focused on renewable energy, that we look at the myriad of other renewable energies, i.e. solar energy, moving forward, so it can not only be great for environmental concerns, but also great for economic development concerns as we move forward. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Baker Kurse, 1 minute.
I would do everything that we know we can do, the simple things that, that somehow we find hard to do, things like recycling, more green belts, more streamside management, simple things like that. But the real key to changing our footprint in this town is revitalizing the central city, where people can live closer to work, we can get off of these interstates, we can get out of the middle of these traffic jams, we can have beautiful neighborhoods close by where all the jobs are up and down the medical corridor, and really change the complete history of this city. Because right now, major cities, if you look at demographic trends, cities our size are either going to go away or they're going to get bigger and more dense. And until we have that kind of urban density, all this talk about public transit is really misplaced. It just won't work very well. But just imagine if we could get into the central city, have pointed programs and focused efforts to revitalize with neighborhoods that were more dense, using schools and infrastructures already in place, it would change this whole city. And that's what's on my website. Go to voteforbaker.com and you'll see all about how we're going to do that.
Thank you. Eric Saban, 1 minute.
Well, the sad reality is that Little Rock is so much further behind than so many other cities, both our size and larger than us around the country, when it comes to sustainability. I mean, we're one of the only cities our size that hasn't actually set concrete sustainability goals. And it's not because we don't know what to do. We have a terrific sustainability commission that's been issuing basically the same recommendations year after year, but the city hasn't had the will to act upon it. And as mayor, I want to make sure we do act upon it, because we do have the ability, for instance, to be more energy efficient as a city and to encourage our residents and commercial businesses to do so as well. We can adopt more renewable energy sources. We can adopt home energy rating systems. We need to have a more robust recycling program. And unfortunately, instead of going forward, because we're so far back when it comes to recycling compared to other cities, we're actually going backwards, because soon you're not going to be able to recycle glass like we've been doing for many years. We're going backwards instead of forwards, but as mayor, I'm going to make sure that we set ambitious goals and that we put plans in place to achieve them, because this is critical for the future of our city.
Did you have a rebuttal, Mr. Schwartz?
Yeah, I want to speak a little more on this. If it is our destiny to become a major metropolis of the planet, right now Little Rock's 124 square miles. We've about reached the size of New York City, but with, I think, 1/100th of its population. I think there's another concept other than just building up in the inner city, and that is, I call it the metropolitan village concept, where you have a high-density inner city and then villages going out that are also high density, where like 10, 20,000 people live on a half a square mile instead of everybody having their half acre and then a $500,000 house on a half acre.
Okay. Thank you very much. And this is a forum for candidates with candidates for Little Rock Mayor. I'm Daniel Breen with KUAR News. Our next question comes from Randy Baer. Little Rock's organization structure and board makeup, rather, seems bloated and out of date for the city. What changes would you propose for both the city organizational structure and the board? Would you keep the city manager and at-large board members? And the first answer goes to Vincent Tolliver. You have 1 minute.
Thank you, Daniel, and thank you, Randy, for the question. Of course, I have spoken on this issue a number of times, and that is, to be clear, I am against at-large city directors. I think it marginalizes minority representation, among other things. I think that the city manager in Little Rock has done a good job. I understand that he has been city manager for a number of years, but I think we need to change the form of government. And what I mean by that is currently we have a weak mayoral form of government where all departments report to the city manager. My platform calls to change that. That means my platform calls for a strong mayoral form of government where all department heads report to the mayor instead of the city manager.
Frank Scott Jr., 1 minute.
If I were king for a day, we would have a true mayor-council form of government. We would not have an at-large city director system, mainly because not only does it hurt minority representation, it hurts overall representation in our entire city. Growing up here, you understand that a lot of voices do not always get heard, and many times the at-large city director system has a role to play in that. And you have to understand that if you're from Little Rock and understand all sides of this particular city. So I would like to see a change of a form of government. However, it can happen today. We just have to encourage our city board of directors to vote for it, because there's only two ways that it happens. Majority board votes for it or a petition. And so that's something that has to happen first. And so I would love to see that again if I was king for a day.
Baker Curtis, 1 minute.
Well, the form of government that we have is a strong mayor form of government. That's what you voted for in 2007, and you did it because you wanted to vest more accountability in the office of mayor, and it's necessary to increase the duties and executive authority of the mayor. We did that in 07. We did everything but change how we operated. If I get the job, I'm going to change the way we operate. I'm going to chair the meetings, which is called the chairman of the board. That's what the mayor does. Sits in the middle, chairs the meeting. But the other thing that the mayor does, the mayor is the chief executive officer of the city. That's what the ordinance says. I've got it right here. And the city manager performs the duties of the job, quote, at the direction of the mayor. That's the form we have. We just haven't used it. I know how to be a CEO. I want you to look at my resume. And I've run big companies. I've supervised thousands of people with tens of millions of dollars in budget. And I love these speech contests. They're great. And these are great men. I've really gotten acquainted with them and like them better now than I used to. But we need, if we're going to have this form of government, well, I'm going to rebut myself in a minute because I'm not through yet.
Daniel, may I use one rebuttal?
Have you spoken yet?
Oh, I'm sorry. Should he go? Yeah.
Yeah, I'll get you on the back end.
So Nathan says that you have to go. Oh, I'm sorry. You have to continue, and then yes.
Work saving 1 minute.
Right. So obviously we have a city manager form of government here in the city of Little Rock. And unfortunately, this is another one of those cases where we've recognized the problem over and over again, and we haven't had the will to really exert the true solution. So we've gone through visioning processes over the years. We've tacked on, you know, some mayoral powers. We've adjusted the city directors here and there. But what we don't have is a functional, transparent, responsive form of government. And I would love to see us have a strong mayor-council form of government without at-large directors, because that would be directly representative. We would know who was making decisions. And more importantly, the people who are making the decisions stand for election at the ballot, because we are a democracy, and we need to make sure that the person who's making decisions isn't insulated from accountability. Now, in the current form of government, there's an opportunity, at least for starters, for the mayor to exert more authority and representation than we've seen in recent years. But what we really need over time, I think, is a move to a strong mayor-council form of government like almost every other city in Arkansas.
Glenn Schwartz, 1 minute.
I like the current system that we have. That's one of the reasons I'm running for mayor this year. I like the at-large directors. And I can tell you right now, if I don't win this election, I'll be announcing for an at-large position the day after Election Day. I like having a city manager, because a city manager would allow me to do with his job part-time. He could be running the city day-to-day, and I'd kind of like to go out and look at some of the solutions that are being implemented in other cities, like Seattle. I mentioned New York earlier, and what they have in Los Angeles. That's, you know, sprawled out city like a Los Angeles and Atlanta. I want to go tour some of these cities and find the best solutions where we could reduce the carbon footprint of the people of Little Rock. And going back to reiterate, yes, I am going to, this will be my 11th run for public office if I announce for city director at large. I wonder why none of the city directors threw their hat in the ring to become mayor.
Vincent Tolliver.
Thank you. This rebuttal is directed directly to my Harvard-educated friend, Baker Kurz, as it relates to a strong mayoral form of government. By textbook, Baker, a strong form of mayoral government means that all department heads report to the mayor and not the city manager. That's not what we have here. All the department heads report to the city manager, Bruce Moore. He has the power to hire and fire and not Mark Stola. That is the textbook definition.
I'm a burn my card, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
Can I do it? Well, the thing that I understand, because I've been there and I've done it, I'm not talking about things I don't know something about. I know how it works. And the mayor is the CEO. The mayor is accountable. Now, the city manager works at the direction of the mayor. The mayor is the CEO. The city manager is the COO. And I will be in the room every time a big decision has to be made. And it's that simple. We have never done what we said we wanted to do. And if I get the job, we'll do it.
Mr. Saban, a rebuttal?
Well, I just want to say, you know, in our form of government right now, it's the city manager who hires the police chief. It's That's the city right. manager who hires the fire chief. And the people who hire the city manager or fire the city manager are a majority of the city board. And then so that's 6 out of 10. So the mayor doesn't really ultimately, in this current form of government, get to tell the city manager what to do, because if the city manager has 6 votes in his or her pocket, the city manager gets to do what he or she wants to do. And so until we change the form of government, that's how it's going to be.
I'm going to shoot my last card. Here's the way it's going to work if I get the job. I can do that, right? And here's what's going to happen. I won't count votes. If I'm the CEO, I will be accountable. And if I have a problem with the police chief, the city manager, the police chief, and I will talk it over, just like I did in business for 14 years in successful companies that absolutely were unbelievably effective because they had a CEO that knew how to run something. I can do this job, and it's true. I won't count noses if they have to make changes. I can work well with the city manager. It'll work really well.
Mr. Scott, your rebuttal.
Mr. Kurz, I just have to disagree with you. You and I both are in business, and I can promise you if my CEO wanted to deal with me and fire me, he or she could. You cannot do that under this existing form of government. You just can't. Well, you have to have board consent. You have to have majority board consent.
That's how it's said.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, I'm out of cards.
I just need you to... and secondly... Mr. Kurz, you have to listen to the community. The community truly has a concern and is confused about our form of government. If you listen to the community, we've talked about this before, you would have that greater understanding.
All right. No more cards in the air, I see.
I only wish.
Thank you all. We're speaking in a forum with candidates for Little Rock Mayor. It's the last in a series of 5 presented by the Central Arkansas Library System, the League of Women Voters of Pulaski County, the American Association of University Women, and KUAR 89.1. I'm Daniel Breen with KUAR News. Our next question is probably a little less contentious, and this is kind of interesting. I honestly don't know much about this. This comes from Annika Dean, who is 10 years old. Annika says, I would like to hear about the dog breed specific laws. Are you for it or are you against it? And the first answer goes to Frank Scott Jr. You have 1 minute.
I couldn't hear that either.
Dog breed specific laws? I'm assuming maybe pit bulls, something like that, outlawed.
Ms. Annika Dean, I will be honest with you. I do not know the dog breed specific laws. So I don't have an answer for you. And I will make certain that I go look it up, and we'll find some time. I'll give you my cell phone number, and I can try to find the best answer for you, but I don't know dog breed specific laws.
Baker Kurz?
Well, I'm not going to get too far out over my skis. I'm a dog lover. I don't know the law to which she's referring. I do know the law, while I've got the time, that deals with the way the government works, but I'm not going to get into that. So I'll have to do likewise, and Mr. Scott and I will cooperate and maybe collaborate and get that answer to her.
Work saving.
Yeah, well, there are obviously laws that you know specify certain breeds as being particularly dangerous, and oftentimes you know those breeds are singled out in a way that a lot of owners feel are unfair because their particular animal is safe and wouldn't harm anybody. I think it's important as a city that we really look at best practices around the country, so we're not picking and choosing based on stereotyping by certain breeds, but we are, you know, taking a hard look at statistics and data whenever we're making decisions like this so we can justify if we do feel like we need to, you know, be more vigilant about a particular breed of animal.
Glenn Schwartz.
I do support the dog, whatever the ordinance you mentioned. I think it's mostly against pit bulls because I had a dog that had that was mortally injured by a pit bull. And so I do support it, and the law helped get the neighbors that were keeping that pit bull. They got them. They actually had to move out into the country.
And Vincent Tolliver.
Well, I appreciate the question, Miss 10-year-old Annika Dean. I have no idea what the dog breed specific laws are, but what I can tell you is our mail carriers in the city are very concerned with dogs roaming around and when owners don't properly contain their animals. And so that's a concern that I'm hearing on the campaign trail all over the city from mail carriers. So if you have a dog, I think that you should make sure that your dog is properly contained. So that's one concern that I've heard, Ms. Dean, as it relates to dogs. But as it relates to your specific question, I have to do due diligence because I don't know, and then we'll get back to you. I'm at ToliverLittleRock@gmail.com, so email us and we'll have the answer for you. Thank you for the question.
All right. Thank you. And this is a forum with candidates for Little Rock Mayor. I'm Daniel Breen with KUAR News. This is going to be our last question from the audience for this evening. Then we'll move into closing statements for each of our candidates here. Our last question comes from Brenda Jones. And Brenda says, since all candidates have brought different ideas to the table, would you be willing to bring any of your opponents into your administration as advisors? That question goes to Baker Kurz.
Oh, the answer to that is absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. I have great respect for everyone up here, and every single person up here has come up with good ideas. Vincent Tolliver has great ideas about art and how we can use that to connect our city. I have great respect for Mr. Scott. Despite our recent spat here, we're good friends and always going to be that way. It would thrill me to work with these guys. And whether I get this job or not, I'm going to call whoever the next mayor is. I'm going to volunteer. If I get the job, I'm going to call them and ask for their help because that's the way it ought to work. I have never held a grudge. I've had good opportunities to hold some grudges, as some of you may recall. I don't do that. The world is round, and what goes around comes around. It would thrill me to work for these guys, and I want them to have bright political futures, just not quite yet.
Work saving 1 minute.
Well, the answer is yes, and I want to point out that, you know, I jumped into this race back in July of 2017 when I formed my exploratory committee, and so I don't consider any of these men opponents. We just happen to be running for the same office, and you know, I got into this because I wanted to bring change to Little Rock, and I knew that in order to do that, I was going to have to do something a little bit different, something that's never been done before, because unfortunately, the way our system is designed, it makes it very difficult for someone to challenge an incumbent. And so I did the exploratory committee, and if you remember, the city sued me. They used your taxpayer money to do that. They sued Mr. Scott as well because he came in and did the same thing after I did. And then ultimately, when that suit was thrown out, we ended up with the situation we're in where we have an open mayoral seat and a true free market competition that's attracted talented people, which is what we need in the city. And I think it's an indication that I'm willing to challenge the status quo. I'm willing to take risks. But more importantly, I'm willing to do it for the betterment of the city. And I would love to work with everyone here after I'm elected mayor.
Glenn Schwartz, 1 minute.
And I have this. This is my 10th run for public office. I was Mayor Stadola's only opponent in 2010. So I would have been in the race regardless, Warwick. But I do really like the panel and the lively debate. It is indicative of how healthy our democracy is that five fine gentlemen would apply for the job of mayor of Little Rock. So I'd also like to say that even if I don't win, I'm going to still work on some of these ideas. We need to have a plan for exponential growth. We need to decriminalize marijuana in Little Rock. We need recycling for all of the citizens. And even if I don't win for the next 2 years, I'll be doing, you know, going to the urban planners and saying, do you have a plan in case there's like this rush of refugees that are seeking to live in Little Rock? So I do want to become more involved, and I'd be delighted to have any of these gentlemen as an assistant if I do win the race.
Vincent Tolliver, 1 minute.
Thank you, Daniel. What a terrific question, Brenda Jones. Absolutely. This race has shown that the candidates have some really good ideas. And so the choice becomes for you as voter, when you get to the voting booth, you will really have to sort of vote your conscience. You will have to make a decision, a tough decision, who is the best to lead the city of Little Rock in these times. And that won't be an easy decision, I'd imagine. But absolutely, Brenda Jones, I think it's a great question. Thank you for asking. I'd love to implement and work with some of the candidates who have really great ideas. Some candidates' ideas, I think, are better than others, but we won't get into those specifics. I appreciate the opportunity to be running for mayor of Little Rock. I appreciate the interest that you, the voters and residents in the city, have shown. This has been an incredible journey, and I also appreciate CALS and the League of Women Voters and KUAR NPR for hosting.
And Frank Scott Jr., 1 minute.
To answer your question is absolutely yes. When I think of great leaders like President Abraham Lincoln, he had a lot of different individuals, many of his opponents who were part of his cabinet, that he called on for advice. And when I think about one of the great business leaders, Lee Scott, he always stated that you always should have great talent around you. And all these men have great talent and great strengths, and I know their strengths of different ways how I would utilize them. And you can't truly unify the city if you don't bring the very folks that were competing for the same city that we all know and love to move forward. So the answer to your question is yes. But we have to have a leader that truly knows the city, ins and outs, understands what's plaguing our city right now, and truly understand our city's at a crossroads. And it's time that we have that type of leader moving forward. Thank you.
And we've been speaking with candidates for Little Rock Mayor. I'm Daniel Breen with KUAR News. It's now time for closing statements from each of the candidates. We're going to go in the original order that was predetermined before the show, starting with Vincent Tolliver. You have 1 minute to conclude.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, CALS. Thank you, League of Women Voters. Thank you, KUAR. This has been fantastic. I am glad that tonight announces the conclusion of the five series, so that's exciting. My name is Vincent Tolliver. I'm running for mayor of Little Rock. I am a former U.S. Congress Democratic nominee from the 4th Congressional District. I'm in this race because of two reasons and two reasons only. One, my philosophy is people first. Two, our campaign is steeped in the principles of service, fairness, equality, and justice. And when you wake up in the morning as residents all across the city of Little Rock, I want you to know and believe that the mayor is rooting for you, and by extension, the city is doing the same. So I am running because I want everyone in this city to be energized by a city hall that is championing their desires, their ambitions, and their love. So Vincent Tolliver for mayor of Little Rock, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Frank Scott Jr., 1 minute.
Well, good evening again, everyone. I just want to say thank you for this opportunity. This is our fifth and final debate, and I'm definitely happy about that. But as we think through these last five debates, and we've discussed all these major issues, I want everyone to understand that we can address these issues, we can talk about them, but until we truly unify this city, nothing else matters. That's how serious it is right now in Little Rock. There's nothing wrong with my opponents. They're all great men. The question is, if you think Little Rock is fine, please consider these other candidates. But if you think it's time to change Little Rock, you need a leader that understands the identity, the diversity, and the true understanding of this city so we can move this city forward, so we can make certain it reaches its true potential. I ask that you vote for Frank Scott Jr. Early voting starts on October 22nd. Election day is November 6th. And I truly would appreciate your vote. And again, The goal is, in a Scott administration, to truly unify this city and move us from being disconnected to connected. Thank you so much.
Baker Curtis, you have 1 minute for a closing statement.
Well, thank you so much. It has been a pleasure tonight. It's been great to be with you. And I'm going to tell you something that I think I can do. I can unify this city. And you don't have to take my word that I think I can do it. You just look at what I've done. I sat on a school board 12 years. Those people that I work with are still good friends. I talk to them a lot. We disagreed all the time, but we never got disagreeable. And we made a lot of progress. I served this city as a superintendent of schools when, frankly, no one else wanted the job. And it was gratifying to me because we brought people together. And they were black and they were white and they were Hispanic. And it was something that was very, very gratifying and something I enjoyed and something I want to do. So keep that in mind. I've got these little stickers, and you've seen them. They say K-U-R-R-U-S. It says us, okay? I know it's not a Baker administration or a Curris administration. It's an us administration. It's about what we can do together. I'll do nothing by myself, and I know that because I've been there, and I've tried, and I've learned we only work when we work together, us, all of us.
Thank you. Rick Saban, 1 minute.
Well, I've mentioned several times over the course of these forums that my wife Jessica and I like to take walks in different parts of the city. It's our favorite thing to do to kind of catch up or, you know, just kind of see different things that are going on. And over the years, you know, we see issues and problems and challenges, and we wonder why they aren't being addressed in the city. And over the course of this campaign, I feel like that's been the theme that I hear over and over again from citizens in all parts of the city. Because in many ways, all of the answers are right in front of us, and we know what to do, and we have very talented people, and we have a beautiful natural setting, and we have, you know, great businesses and all of the elements to build one of the best cities of the 21st century in the United States of America. Yet every measurement right now is that we've been stagnant in terms of economic growth, in terms of population growth, and we see so many other cities across the country getting ahead of us. We need leadership that will finally be inclusive, take all of the talent that we have, and put it to use to build the kind of city that we all know is possible. We have that potential, and I'm the leader to make it happen.
And Glenn Schwartz, 1 minute.
And I am Glenn Schwartz. May the Schwartz be with you. I am the common sense and working class candidate for mayor. I want to just reiterate the issues that I ran running on. I've got the decriminalization of marijuana immediately in Little Rock, recycle services reestablished immediately in Little Rock for all of the citizens. Prepare Little Rock for exponential growth because of the reasons that I have told you. There's a couple other differences that we should note. I want to continue the at-large director positions. I think that these positions serve as like vice mayor, and they should be a training ground for future mayors. And also, I think I'm the only candidate that is opposed to turning Little Rock into a sanctuary city. We are a nation of laws, and people should lawfully come to this country and this city, and if they do that, we will assimilate them and make them into the most productive citizens possible. It has been a delight to campaign with you gentlemen this year.
And that is the end of our forum. Please give these candidates a round of applause. This has been our final forum with candidates for Little Rock Mayor. You can find this and other forums on economic opportunity, crime, infrastructure, and education on KUAR.org. On behalf of the Central Arkansas Library System, the League of Women Voters, the American Association of University Women, and KUAR 89.1, I'd like to thank each of you for participating and wish you good luck on November 6th. I'm Daniel Breen of KUAR News. Thank you and good night.